Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 501 years ago this Wednesday, Martin Luther went out and, in a desire to debate the truth of indulgences or the lack thereof, he went out to put on the door the 95 Theses. And in so doing, with the help of the Gutenberg Press and with the desire of many to see reform, the words that he spoke turned into what we call the Reformation. And the Reformation was a desire for people to get back to the Word of God, to get back to the solas, the Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, and some have added, in Christ alone, and to God alone be the glory. And those were the marching orders that came out of this simple act of faith that started on October 31st, 501 years ago. And it led for many people to freedom in knowing that it's not about what we do that matters. It's what God does in simple water and His mighty word. That through the waters of holy baptism, He makes a covenant with us. Just as He made with Abraham before. He makes a covenant with us. And that covenant is His guarantee that He will never forsake us, abandon us, or be unfaithful to forgive us when we confess our sins. That God is faithful and just, that when we confess our sins, He immediately, without reservation, forgives us our sins. If we're repentant, He forgives us. He never will abandon us. Now, please don't misunderstand me. That still means that we can jump out of His hand, right? Still means that we can go down the road of disobedience. We can go down the road of rebellion. And He'll be there at all times, wanting, desiring, drawing us to Him, back to Himself. And yet we can end up going away from Him and being in hell because we desire it. We choose it. I always like to say the only thing we can choose in life is hell, right? That's the only choice we have as human beings. But with God, His desire is that when he picks us, as He picked Shema through the waters of holy baptism to be His child, we have that promise that no matter what we go through, and you may go through stuff in the future because of what you've done here today that will be scary. But yet the Lord, He will never abandon you. He'll be with you throughout everything you go, wherever you go, whenever, He's there with you always. That's His promise. When He left His disciples and gave them the Great Commission in Matthew 28, He said, "Lo, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age." He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's important, isn't it? Because sometimes when we go through those hard times, we wonder, where is the Lord in this? And the reality is, He's there with us no matter what. And He's always got a place for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. And because of our baptism, we have a plaque there with our name on it. And He desperately wants us to be there with Him. Now, Jesus tells us the truth of what it means to know the truth. In John 8, He says, "The truth will set us free." He says, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And it's interesting because they thought of the truth as an objective truth, right? It was something that was out here, and they immediately claim that truth in this way. They say, "Well, we were offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." They didn't like the idea that they had to be set free, right? How many people do you run across in the world who like to think of themselves as being good people? They're good people. And therefore, they don't need this grace stuff. They're doing just fine on their own, right? They're doing just fine. We don't need this grace. We don't need this forgiveness, because we're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. And you know how foolish that is, right? You know, excuse me. I went out on the camp out with my sons, and I think the cold air just kind of got my lungs all. It was great. It was beautiful, beautiful fall day, but the air was cold. So just got to bear with me here. But it's interesting because when you hear the history of the people of Israel, who weren't they enslaved to? every empire enslaved the people of Israel, didn't they? Just what do we know from Scripture? Just the ones we know from Scripture, what are they? Well, first of all, they went down to Egypt and were slaves. And they came out of Egypt. They got the promised land. And then they messed that up. And who came and attacked the northern kingdom first? Assyria. Right? Assyria. And then, Joanne, who came and took the southern kingdom? Babylon. And then who took over Babylon? The Persians. You know anything about the Persians? Yeah. The Persians. And then after that, they had a little bit of freedom for a while. And then came the Macedonians or the Greeks. Then came the Romans. I mean, when weren't they slaves? Really? But do you not know people who can't see the sin? You know people who really believe their own propaganda? They really believe that all they need to be is a good person? They really think that that's all that's necessary in life, and they just don't want to they don't want to hear about Jesus because it's a cop-out? I literally read an email this last week from someone who said this forgiveness and this Jesus stuff is just a cop-out for fixing yourself. What you need is more counseling. What you need is more instruction. You could get yourself figured out. You don't need this Jesus, this forgiveness, this grace stuff, because it's just a cop-out. Just a crutch. I thought to myself, oy vey. Like, really? I mean, but this person actually believes. He also believes that you can find it through Buddha, which is probably where the problem starts. But, you know, it's so funny because he honestly believes that he doesn't need forgiveness because he hasn't done anything wrong. He's a good person. And it just scared me. And I thought, man, I am so excited about Sunday and about Reformation and about baptism and about all the ways God has so easily. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's going to be difficult, right? I think it's going to be difficult. But it's going to be easy in the sense that Christ has already said to Shema today, you are my child, I have a place for you. He's making a mansion, by the way. John 14 says he's making a mansion. What do you want in your mansion? I want a swimming pool. I know some people out here want a golf course, right, Dad? But, you know, he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And that's the promise. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. So Jesus says, if we abide in his word, we are really his disciples. We will know the truth, which is in his word, and it'll set us free. And they answer, you know, we've never been slaves to anyone. So why do we need to be made free? And this is why the world still needs the Reformation. Somebody said, well, we don't need the Reformation anymore. Well, the world still needs the Reformation because there are people who do not see themselves as slaves, even when it's obvious. There's still people that are dealing with addictions. How many people have I, over my ministry, over almost 25 years, how many people have I run across who have told me that they really don't need Jesus, they just need to get things under control? Ever met anybody like that? I'm just going to get this under control. I'll come to Jesus and I'll come to the church and I'll do this when I got this stuff fixed. When I was living in Wilkie, Saskatchewan, I had Wilkie and Unity in Battleford as the churches I served. And so in order to be in both places, I lived in Wilkie. I became involved in the Royal Canadian Legion, similar to the one I'm involved in, Royal Oak. And I went to the one in Unity. And I would go there for meetings on Thursday nights once a month. And because they had a history of arguing, they made the pastor the president because they figured that way I could bring peace. Didn't quite work. But when I was there, I always had these interesting things where people would drink a little bit too much. And then after, they would come and make these interesting confessions. I don't know if you ever experienced that. I guess you have to be a pastor to experience it. But they would come and make these interesting confessions. And at the end of them, I would say, you know what you need is you need Jesus. Oh, is that it? I said, yeah, that's it. Well, I thought you were going to give me some wisdom. Well, that's the wisdom. You need Jesus. Because if you're going to try to fix this on your own, it's not going to happen. If you don't get the power of the Holy Spirit, if you don't receive what Jesus has for you, you're not going to be in a place where you're supposed to be. It's that simple. And it's that hard. I often say the gospel is so simple. It's not difficult, but it's hard. Because it requires us drowning our old Adam and receiving the new Adam. It requires us to turn from those things that we are so easily led into. And addictions are one of those things where people, I mean, if you really want to understand Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, I mean, it was designed for people to have God as their helper. Designed for people to have God as their helper. And I always find it interesting that people are now taking and they could basically pick their own helper, their own spiritual guide. And I think it doesn't work as effectively as it was designed to do. They have false worldviews, right? We talked about this with slavery. Their idea that, well, we've never been slaves to anyone, even though they've been under the control of all these different empires. Their lack of biblical literacy. How many of you know that the world is full of more Bibles than we've ever had before, and yet very few people read them? Very few people read them. And then you throw in the relative truth of today, where everything is based upon what I believe rather than what God says. So my prayer for us this Reformation Day is to remember that we still need the truth. That abiding in His Word is as important today as it was 501 years ago. There are still people out there who need to say, it's not just objective truth, but it needs, I believe, to be received as subjective truth in a relationship with Jesus as Lord and Savior. What I mean by that is that people often look at the truth and they kind of set it up on a pedestal and say, that's really great. I love the truth. But when we take it and make it subjective, we say, okay, Lord, what do I need to change in my life so that I line up with the truth? What do I need to change in my life so I am more Christ-like in my approach to things? What do I need to change? And for us, the Reformation tells us it's not just up to us. When we see those things, that's when God steps in, and by His power and by His by His grace through faith, we get to experience this change. God's the one who changes us. So we understand that when the Son sets us free, we're free indeed. I love that word indeed, because that means there is no exceptions. If the Son sets you free, you're free. Indeed. I don't know, you haven't convinced me. If the Son sets you free, you're free. Indeed. Indeed, it's a guarantee, it's a promise. That's why we use these big words when we talk about the Reformation. We talk about sola scriptura, right? Based upon Scripture alone. We talk about sola gratia. Grace alone. Sola fide. Faith alone. Solus Christus. Christ alone. And solo Deo gloria. To the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, I hope that today, when you think about what God has done today in bringing Shema into the family, in forgiving all of her sins and saying, you got a fresh start, you're a new person, you're a child of the living God, and I'm preparing a place for you, that when you go home today, you celebrate with great joy the truth that you are free. You're free indeed. And when Satan comes around and says, you can't be free, what do? You give him the boot, right? Say, get behind me, Satan. You have no place in my life because I'm a child of the living God. And if he tries to do what the law is supposed to do, which is what we read the law, we're supposed to read the law so that we're convicted of our sins. You say, okay, Satan, thank you. I'm done. Lord, forgive me. And what happens? You are forgiven. For if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. May God truly bless us as we continue to be Reformation people. We continue to recognize that it's by Scripture alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, and for the glory of God, that we are here 501 years after this movement started to say the world still needs Reformation. We still need Jesus. And God still has great things in store for us, and He desperately wants us to move forward in His power. Amen? Amen.